In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
In the book of Exodus, after the Israelites have left Egypt and made their way to the Promised Land, of course, when they're at the edge of the Promised Land, they send out scouts, and these scouts see abundance, but they also see giants. And there's great fear, and so in disobedience, they ultimately shrink back from entering the Promised Land. And as a consequence of that, they are given to wandering in the desert. Because of their lack of faith, it says, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And during that 40 years, God provided for them. He provided for them manna from heaven. The word manna means, what is it? And it's described as this white, kind of like a pea, or it almost looks like frost on the ground. And it arrives every morning, and it's to be harvested every morning, and then ground up, and it's made into cakes. And these cakes taste good. They taste like they have oil, and there's a certain sweetness to them. But the trick is that you can only gather up enough for one day. So for 5 days, or for 6 days a week, or 5 days a week, you could gather enough for one day, because if you gathered more than for one day and you tried to store it, it would begin to rot, it would begin to stink, and it was prone to instantly being filled with worms. But especially on the Sabbath, because the Jews were not allowed to work on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they were allowed to gather for 2 days. And of course, miraculously, this manna would not rot or decay. And you think about this as God's provision for them to wake up every day, to have to harvest, to grind, to consume this manna from heaven, from God, as a way of training the Israelites in a type of obedience, in a type of faith, where their day-to-day sustenance was to be received from heaven, from God, no more, no less, every day, and there was a pragmatic connection to life. They had to completely rely on God for their sustenance. I'm sure that when Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer and he talks about the daily bread, which is a rather weak translation, that this notion is also put in there. This idea that daily we were to consume the spiritual bread that comes down from heaven to us. Especially this happens in prayer and receiving the Eucharist. But that much like the Israelites, we're meant to be sustained on a day-to-day, a moment-to-moment level, both physically and spiritually from God. And how God can train, and he did train his people in that dramatic way in the Old Testament. In today's gospel, we're given a parable of a man who has abundance because he has really had a good year with his crop. And in this abundance, he says that he is going to tear down his barns. And there's a little bit of humor within the gospel today in the sense that this man is talking to himself and he has this real dilemma. You know, the way the fathers paint the picture of him talking to himself is, wow, he's really suffering. What am I going to do with all my stuff? I mean, this is such a burden to have all this wealth. What shall I do? How shall I take care of it? He decides to tear down his barns and build yet bigger barns. Of course, in this parable, we hear the word I 6 times. We hear the word mine 4 times. So there's a strong sense of ownership, a strong sense of the only thing that matters in this person's world, this rich landowner's world, is his stuff and himself. He doesn't see the poor around him. Almost universally, from St. Basil on, there's a conversation about how he shouldn't have built new storehouses, but that ultimately that extra abundance that he had was meant to be given to the poor, that their stomachs were the storehouses, that ultimately he had... That's a cute kid. Yeah. You're giving me trouble up here, kiddo. It's okay. It's okay. You can only single out kids. They can't be embarrassed. So he is entirely enwrapped in himself, selfish, and keeps all that he has. And of course, the pun line of the parable is, today your soul is required of you. Who are you going to give all this stuff to? It's going to go on to someone else. Now, in our modern culture, we live in a time that is one of the most prosperous in the world. Even in our poverty, we tend to have more than what poverty used to mean. And we have large houses. We have storehouses. And so this gospel also should challenge us. It should challenge us to think about what we actually need and to even compare ourselves to the Israelites. To ask ourselves, do we eat more than we need to eat? Do we have more in our closet than we need to have? Do we have more in our bank accounts than we need to have? Now, in our modern way of thinking, it's really never enough. You know, and you see, if you were to talk about the man in the parable, it's never really enough because you know that a bad year could come. And so why would you ever tear down a storehouse? You would always build more and build more and build bigger closets and build and try to eat more and consume more. Our culture is this way, bigger, better, more, all the time. There's never really enough. And that is what we are kind of imbued with within our society. But the gospel limits that. It brings it back. It says, you don't need all that. You don't know who you're keeping it for. You can't take it with you when you're dead. And ultimately, all that extra stuff that we're surrounded with chokes us out. It covers us in debt. And ultimately, it becomes so narcissistic and selfish that it becomes an accusation against us as we see that poverty becomes more and more in our society as well. So we have to consider that the extra coats in our closet, the extra money, the extra food might be for those who have needs, and then to find ways to produce and give it to them. That's the moral of today's parable. How do you be rich towards God? You contribute to the image of God in other people. You share of yourselves. You get out of your narcissistic isolation that thinks it's all about me and I and what I need. And you look out beyond yourself. How do you become more reliant on God? You become less reliant on your stuff. And you try to insulate yourself less from things because you know that God ultimately will provide. May our Lord help us to heed this parable in our prosperous day and age and to spread our wealth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.